It is the time. No, no, it's okay. So it looks like a lot of people are Thanksgiving still out of town. And so I know some are sick. So I'm going to do something a little bit different just because it's just us and it just seems overkill to be standing here. So I'm going to go ahead and just turn off the mic and just ask you guys to come on up, and we're going to, including you, Jesse, and we're just going to have some prayer. And if more come, then maybe we'll kick it into a different mode, but I'll just keep it a little more personal this morning. How's that? Is that good? He's got that going, so that should be good, right, for a while. You need worship music? Well, if we want to, we can do some worship music, and let's do something then after that, because everybody's like, I want some worship music. I've got a good list going. So, okay, Jesse, so we'll start with some worship music. Yeah, we can all come on up. Yeah, exactly. Creatures of habit. Well, let me just open with prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, God, for every life that's here, Lord, and the ones that couldn't make it, Lord, due to, Lord, I'm sure, being with family, and I know some are sick. We pray for those that are ill, that you would give them strength for their bodies. We especially pray right now, Lord, for Ruth and Bill, Lord, who are in the hospital. Pray, God, for your hand of healing to touch both of them. Pray, Lord, wisdom for Hope, Lord, as she needs to make a decision, God. We pray that wisdom from heaven and guidance from heaven would help her in that decision. And Lord, we just thank you, God, that you're working in our lives for your good pleasure. And Lord, whether one or a thousand be here, Lord, we know that you're here with us, God. And so we want to receive everything that you have for us today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Because of what the Lord did on the cross, what he did by leaving his heavenly place, stepping out of his place of glory and coming down into the earth in the form of man. We're about to celebrate, you know, the Christmas season. The incarnation of God is what that is. And because I love it, because God became a man, man then gets to be like God. What a concept. That the God who created all things became man, and then not just man, but became man to the place where he surrendered his life into the hands of evil men to be crucified and killed and seemingly destroyed the work of God. But no, his love could not be overcome, as that song says. His love was so powerful and so glorious that it raised him from the dead. So that you and I, in our unknowing state of God, could be raised from the dead. And so now we can be sons and daughters. Even though we were sons and daughters before and didn't know it, because we've come from God. But we get to be in his family once again. We get to be connected to him once again. We get to have union with Him again. How glorious is that? How amazing is that? What a reason to be thankful. Even though we're past Thanksgiving, every day needs to be Thanksgiving for us as Christians. We need to always remember the goodness of God, His blessings, His grace and mercy in our lives. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, does anyone have anything on their heart? Do you have something on your heart? No, you're standing up there like you're, or you're just hanging. Hanging. Does anyone have anything on their heart? Well, if not, we can go ahead and dim the music. So I don't think this will go along with wishing someone a happy birthday. Told you we were going to do it twice. Gay sang it when she walked in, but it's Phyllis's birthday today. Woo-hoo. Woohoo! So on three, one, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Phyllis. Happy birthday to you. Praise the Lord. And many more? Yeah, amen, right? Yeah, no Scooby-Doo on Channel 2, right? Yeah. It's. I'm sure someone could sing it, but it's like... Hey, welcome back. How was Texas?
It was good.
Was it good?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Didn't mean to call you out there, but it's like...
Report.
Report. Well, it was like, it wasn't like a, I don't think it was a ministry trip, was it?
No.
No, it was all fun.
Games.
Her reporting her fun might get her in trouble, so we don't know when to go there, right? okay, so it looks like, Adam, are you good to stay up? Sounds like he's good today. Okay. All right. Well, with no further ado then, yeah, we'll be right over here. So for the last couple of weeks, we've been teaching on Thanksgiving and being thankful. Did anybody practice that? I did a little bit. It's so easy to forget to be thankful. I mean, you have to almost purpose it. It's easy to be negative. Was anybody negative this week? Couple raise their hands. Couple are honest. Okay. So, but is it not easier to be negative than thankful? So it tells me that to be thankful, we have to purpose to be thankful. And the best way to be thankful, I think, for us as Christians is to remember what God has done for us. And you have to do that by recalling the work of the cross, just like I just did. And realize and think about the power and the impact that it has. And then that'll cause your heart to start to well up and have true thanksgiving. Okay. So today we're going to finish, hopefully, I'm pretty sure we'll finish, this series that I started that is confusing for some, unfortunately. It's not meant to be. It's meant to help communicate to you the depths of God and how much you have been on His mind ever since He created things. Mm-hmm. That you're not like just a, you know, afterthought for God. Oh, I got another one down there I need to try to... No, you have been on His heart and His mind before the foundations of the earth.
Right.
Which is a hard concept for us to understand because, you know, we can barely think about how long ago it was when the United States was created, and that's only a little over a couple hundred years, and it's hard for us to relate back to that, much less the very creation of creation, right?
Right.
Oh, I don't want to use that. Turn it off. So, we're going to go through Romans 11, 33 through 36. If you want to listen to the previous messages of the Of Him and Through Him, those are online. I think those are the titles. Romans 11, 33 through 36 says this, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor?" Paul is asking a question there. "Or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him?" So these are kind of redundant questions. The answer is really no one. And then he says this amazing statement, "For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom, being him, be glory forever. Amen." So we've talked about for of him, which means from the midst of him. And we've talked about through him, which means through the midst of him. Now today we're going to talk about to him, which means into the midst of him. So what we have happening is all things are coming from the midst of God, then going through the midst of God, and then back to the midst of God, which doesn't make sense when you just say it. So that's where I kind of came up with this little illustration here. As you see here, here's him. So of him is from the midst of God, and then through the midst of God, and then back to the midst of God. Now that looks kind of odd because it looks like God separated. But if we think of God as a Trinity and his Spirit being what's moving, here's the Father, here's the Son, and here's the Spirit. Another illustration. I think this really kind of reflects the depth of what we're talking about here. For of him, out of the midst of him, and then back through him, and then back to the midst of him. So everything proceeds out of God. Everything lives through God or has existence through God, and everything goes back to God. That's what it says. Mm-hmm. Are all things. And we've talked about what all is. It's everything. So hopefully today we'll understand why this to him is important. So here we go. To him and to him. And I'm going to just quickly say that's a picture. And then what I wanted to point to is that this ice word that we're talking about, the two, really means into. So when you go into a room, the process of you opening the door and walking into the room, that whole word into means the full process. So if I'm going to go into the basement, or down to the basement, but into the basement, I've got to walk out this door, walk down the stairs, and I've got to walk to the basement. The whole into is the process. So this again, this full illustration is a process that we go through as believers, as even unbelievers who are living their lives not knowing God, not realizing that they have come from God, that they even have their existence right now through God, and that they'll eventually go back to God is an amazing concept. Because most people don't think that they're from God. Most people know there is a God, but they just think that he's kind of, you know, out there and maybe involved in lives or helping people when they're really in trouble, if they believe in God at all.
Right. Playing chess with us as pieces.
Playing chess. We're pawns. We're bishops. We're rooks. And some of us are queens and kings. Okay, so let's look at this word into. It's a preposition, and it means indicating the point reached or entered. So it's, again, a process of moving into something. Let's look at another one here. It means motion into which. It's the motion. Like I said, me going downstairs is the full into process. Implying penetration or union. So it's literally where we go back into union with God. Mm-hmm. Now the beautiful thing is while we're still going through Christ, we can now start experiencing that union with God even before we end our lives here, which is good news. We looked at 1 Corinthians 8:6 the last two times because it really connects all of these processes. Yet for us there is one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we live. Now this is interesting, this "and for him," that word "for" is the word "eis" or "into." So you could say "and for," and "we into him." So "of whom are all things and we into him, and one Lord Jesus Christ." So Paul at this time was trying to communicate to even the Corinthians that their existence was from God and that they had a destiny in God because they unfortunately were worshiping idols. That's what this whole part is about. They were into, you know, gold and silver and wooden idols, and Paul's trying to tell them, listen, no, there's only one God. Even though there's lots of gods, as you say, but there's only truly one God, and you exist and live in him. And not only that, all things are created from him and for him or into him. I know that's confusing. Well, maybe you can help explain.
The Corinthian people, weren't they the ones that were really into mythology and
they were pretty soulish people, yeah.
So they believed in, you know, Zeus and all that stuff. And so they had a goddess of love, and they had a this, and they had a that. But what Paul is trying to say is, it's okay that you have all that, but that's not ever going to be enough for you. The only way you're going to be completely fulfilled is if you're into him, Jesus, into the Lord. Because all of those other things, they're not salvation to you.
That's right.
They're not salvation to you at all. They're just to get you by here, so you think. This Jesus, this one that gave his life for us, he's the one that is salvation.
And you're maybe saying, Pastor Mike, why are you telling us all this? Is it necessary? Well, it is necessary because it's overlooked a lot by the church. Because we just have a idea that, well, we're just going to get saved, we're going to, you know, make it through this life, and we're going to escape going to hell, and we'll experience salvation someday, when it's much more than that. God has predestined us. He has pre-thought us. He has pre-defined us for his glory. And to know him and his son, Jesus Christ, and to come back to him. Let's look at Ephesians 1:3-6. Might give us a little bit better idea. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So, number one, he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So that's a big one to be thankful for. In other words, you lack nothing spiritually. You are already blessed with every spiritual blessing. Notice it's in the heavenly places, though. Sometimes we want to see every spiritual blessing manifested in our life. We want to see it here, right now. I want to see all my spiritual blessings. But sometimes they manifest here through giftings and experiences, but all that God has for us is in the heavenly places. Does that make sense? Okay. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. So he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Chose us, not just Jesus Christ, us, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So having predestined, preordained, preplanned us to the adoption as sons, we have been on his heart and his mind the whole time.
Yeah.
We're not an afterthought. And it's by Jesus Christ. That word to is the word into. By Jesus Christ, into himself. So through Christ, we get into God. Through Christ, we get into we have the ability to move into the one that created us. This is what we celebrate in communion. The work of the cross, the shed blood, the broken body, we then take those into our being in a physical way, which represents us being taken into him in a spiritual way. Common union. Any questions? According to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. I love that. We are accepted in the beloved. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. Not because of anything we can do ourselves. Not because of any work that we can do. Not because of any penance we can do. Not because of any good deeds that we do. But only because of Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, we are then fully accepted by God. So, what makes us accepted by God? Us not sinning?
No.
Question. Does us not sinning make us accepted by God?
No.
What makes us accepted by God? Jesus Christ. And us using Jesus Christ as the doorway, which he said, I am the door. Anyone comes to the Father but through me. We go through Christ. It does not matter our condition, except the condition of our heart, that we receive freely what has been freely given to us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Ephesians 4, 14 through 15. That we should be no longer, that we no longer should be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth of love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So see, we don't just know Jesus to have him be like some kind of ticket stub that we get stamped when we go to heaven. We don't just have a relationship with Jesus so that I can say, hey, I know him and he knows me, so it's all good, I get in. No, we know him so that we grow up in these all things that he's talking about into him. We grow up into him. Into him means it's a process.
If our spiritual life looked like our natural life, if we stayed babies the whole time, we would look really weird wearing diapers as a 55-year-old person. You know what I mean? Like when we are born and we learn to walk and talk and eat and drink and use the restroom and all the other things that we learn to do so that we can be in society, let me say this way. If our natural life looked like our spiritual life looks like, a lot of us would be wearing diapers right now and drinking bottles. Do you know what I mean? Because we haven't allowed this process to actually become true to who we are. Because he's true. He's the truth. He's the way. He's the life. But if our spiritual life looked like our natural lives, we wouldn't be beyond, you know, babyhood, most of us. How weird would that be? That, you know what I'm saying? It would be very weird. So it's like, God, why does this even matter? And God is saying, it matters because I have so much for you that I'm just waiting to give you, but you can't handle it in the state you're in. You have to learn to grow in him. And it can't be his job to make you grow. It can't be up to him. It can't be up to a cell group. It can't be up to anything other than how much you're going to put into it. And if you're going to put into it a little, why not put into it all the way? Why not know him like that? Did I show that picture of Floyd when he was raising his hand? Remember back a few months ago, I showed you my cousin who, since February, the man has been, he has been in a bed. He has not been able to get up. He has not been able to function. But his spirit is still so alive that when worship music is put on, this one strong hand, the left hand, can go up and praise the Lord, even though he can't speak a word. This man has given his whole life to God. Why is God letting this happen? I believe there's a supernatural, spiritual thing going on. God is using him, maybe for me, maybe for others, but God is using him in the state that he's in to draw me closer to God or somebody else closer to God. Do you see what I'm saying? We have to be, if we're in for a penny, we need to be in for a pound. If we're going to do it, let's do it. Let's not just play at it. Because a lot of times that's what we do. We play at it. And God doesn't want that anymore. He's like, come on. You know, quit being a two-year-old. I want you to grow up. I want you to get this. Because I have so much for you. God has so much for us in store for when, you know, because you would not give a two-year-old baby a two-wheeler. You just wouldn't do it. God has so much in store for us, waiting to give us to be able to live for him. We have to be the ones that say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? He'll tell you. Sheep, know the shepherd's voice. He'll tell you. But we are expecting, and let me just say this, we're expecting to live the toddler life supernaturally and then get to heaven and crossed fingers, toes, and everything else that can be crossed, we cross. Oh, God, you know, let me into the heavens. And God's like, wow, dude, you could have been so far beyond this, like so much more than this. And you missed it. You missed it all. I don't want to miss it. Do you? I mean, seriously? Do you really want to do this just to be a two-year-old supernaturally for the next however long you're alive? And then, yeah, you barely get to heaven, but all the things God had for me, I could have had while I was here. I didn't seek that out. I didn't pursue it. I didn't go for it like he wanted me to. And I knew he wanted me to. Because, you know, he's pushing and prodding. And he's poking into that spiritual man that you are. And he's saying, come on, what is it going to take? What's it going to take? Sorry.
No, that's good. Off track. No, need to get off track. You were accelerating the train. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. What is the every wind of doctrine that's in your life? What are the things that you have believed that have not been part of the truth? That have kept you from growing up in all things into him? Is part of the lie that church is my spiritual life and that's all I really need? Or is part of the lie that if I read my Bible once a day, you know, 1 year Bible, then that's all I need to grow up into him? See, the thing is that when we come to God, he's giving us everything we need to truly know him. Only thing we have to do is submit to the desire that he's put in our heart. We think we have to even manufacture our own desire to go after God, but he's put it in us. But it's going to take being still and knowing that he's God. Mm-hmm. It's going to take some of us getting our heart right. Some of our hearts are so full of other things, there's no room for the Lord. There's no room for his desire for him in us. Because we're so full of other things. Mm-hmm. You know, where our treasure is, our heart will be also. So you treasure, you know, social media, you treasure TV, you treasure, I'm speaking to myself, you treasure, you know, all these things that are available to us. I mean, there is so much available to us. Does anybody know that? We are a generation of availability. We could be just doing social stuff all the time. And if we didn't have to work, a lot of us would be just fine with that. I was watching, or Tim was watching, that Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and it
the new one,
yeah, Tim, yeah, the four parents or the four grandparents sitting in the bed, and they're always in the bed, and they're just, you know, that's their life, is in the bed, until finally one of them gets a chance to go to the Chocolate Factory, and the old one, at least, he got out of bed, and he started walking around and had a reason to live. Guys, we have a reason to pursue God, and that's because as we pursue Him, He lets us receive His godliness. Now, to some, that may sound boring. Well, it's just, that's not cool, you know. You know, liking something on Facebook, that's cool. But, you know, just attaining godliness, that doesn't seem cool. But I'm here to tell you, attaining godliness through God is the coolest thing, the most amazing thing, the most radical thing that we could do as believers. But we have been tricked by men and the devil through cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting. Folks, the enemy has schemed this scenario where most Christians are apathetic to their faith, at least in the United States.
Complacent,
apathetic. In other words, where our spiritual life is just another part of our existence. Instead of our spiritual life being our existence. See, we are first spirit, and then we're natural now. Before we were natural, that had a spiritual existence, but didn't really understand it. Now we're spirit that has a natural existence. That's why it's so clear that, you know, this is not our home. We're just passing through. We're actually in another home right now. This part of us that's our soul and our body that's still dealing with this natural event called life is like a mirage. But we can turn it around, folks. Family, we can turn it around. All we have to do is pursue the one that's pursuing us. And then we can grow up in all things into Him. Philippians 1:29, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe into Him. So see, we're to also believe into Him, not just believe about Him or believe, you know, what He did, but we're to believe in such a way that our even our belief in Him is a process of continually growing in greater belief in Him. See, a lot of people say, well, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. Well, in a place in the Bible, there's a scary verse. It says that the devils believe and tremble. So in other words, believing isn't just it. It's believing in a process of continuing to pursue, to know Him more, to believe more. It's where we talk about from going from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from grace to grace. It's a growing process. So it's not like we come to a place and we're all good. Even though we are all good, in our walk, we are constantly pursuing a greater excellence of knowing Him. That's why Paul again says, my utmost to just know Him. I'll give everything just to know Him. I'll count everything else as garbage in my life if I can just know Him. Then just tags this on, but also to suffer for His sake. Why do you have to put that in there? Colossians 1:16-17. For by Him are all things, for by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. So everything has been created by Him. In another place it says for Him. All things were created through Him and for Him. Now that word for, again, is the word eis or into. So you could say that all things were created through Him and to Him. So again, it's just another way that in the scriptures you see this divine infinity working. They were through Him, but then also to Him. And I don't know if there's a way that we could really illustrate this in the natural, but the best way I could think is a child. Because if you think of a child, they come from you. And then you raise them up in the through process where you're teaching them how to do, hopefully, what not to do. Sometimes we run into ones that haven't been taught what to do and what not to do. But we're training them the through process. This is how you live, sometimes we say, in my home. And then when they get older, you can't jurisdict anymore. If you try, you're going to find, you know, just them bolting. They have to come back to you. They have to come back to a place where they want to have relationship willingly. With where they came from.
Yeah, willingly.
Willingly. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So all things come out of God. All things go through God, and all things come back to God. I would have thought all people, all things, that really hurts my brain. Because like, you mean like the entire universe is going back to you? What does that mean? Right, Jesse? That's what it says. I like to take things literally. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. That is a scripture that if you ever talk to a person that's really into science, write this scripture down and read that to them. And they will go, that's in the Bible? I guarantee it, because there are things out there that are discovered by science now that says something is holding everything together. So you show them that, and it's saying that he holds everything together. So even before science knew that something had to hold everything together, whatever it is, whatever the force is, it's him. Good. Did I miss? Was I not on that one? Guess maybe I wasn't. Sorry. Or maybe I was on that one. They look the same. Yes. Colossians 18 through 20. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. That's saying that it pleased the Father God, that in Christ all the fullness of God should dwell. And then verse 20, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. So reconciliation means to allow a relationship to be restored. So by Christ, all things are being restored to himself. That word to is into. All things are being restored back into God.
Yeah.
By Christ. All things. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Even the things in heaven are being restored back to God. Now go let your brain think about that one. What things are in heaven? Principalities, powers, rulers, those things are even being restored back to God. How that all works, folks, I don't know. I'm not God. All I'm telling you is that it's a big plan of this restoration. Mm-hmm. Having made peace through the blood of his cross. See, the blood of his cross wasn't just for you and I. It was for all of creation. That's why creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. When they stand in the fullness of the Christhood that we're to carry, then things get reconciled back to God. And they get placed back in their proper order. Okay, 1 Peter 1:18 through 21. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers. In other words, idols again, silver, gold, other things that they used to represent God in their life. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, for me, who through him believe into God. Through him, we believe into God. See, without Christ, we can't even have a proper relationship of understanding and believing God. That's why all of these other faiths that don't have Christ, don't get a proper perspective of God. They can't see God for who he truly is, because it takes Christ to see God. It takes Christ to even begin to understand God. So everyone else out there with other faiths, not speaking them down, but where they think that they're worshiping God, they're worshiping a form of God that they've been able to understand in their own reasoning. But without Christ, we can't believe truly in God. We can't truly have faith into God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are into God. That's that word "in" again, means into God. Through God, your faith and hope are through God. So Christ is the way for us to receive the faith that comes from God. That's why as sons and daughters, we can be just like him. Because Jesus made a way so that the godliness, remember when I said that God became a man so that men could become like God? That's the gospel. God became a man so that men could become like God. I know it sounds crazy. That's his plan. And so we become sons and daughters. And we can say, Abba, Father. Daddy, Daddy. He becomes our Father, just as he was the Father of Jesus when he was here. He becomes our Heavenly Father, our Holy Father. Not just the Creator that created us, the Father that created us as a creation, but he becomes our spiritual Father, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Mm-hmm. Who through him believe in God, or believe into the midst of God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God, or your faith and hope are into the midst of God. I kind of addendum those with the actual meaning of that Greek word. Who through him believe in God, or through him believe into the midst of God. See, we don't just believe in a God. We don't just believe that God is even our Father. We have a way of believing into the very depths of who he is. Thus common union. Thus his glory becomes our glory. This is why his glory becomes our glory. This is why his righteousness becomes our righteousness. Because we're not just receiving something that, again, is just like something that's stamped. We're receiving something because when we go through Christ, we literally go into God. And so what is his is ours. Does that make sense? Can you explain it any better?
Well, no, I'm just thinking that, you know, I don't know if I should say what I'm thinking, but...
Why not?
we look at him, I'm going to say my husband, we look at my husband and we think, oh no, I'm never going to be like him. He understands all this stuff.
Hopefully not.
No, I don't get it. If I have to become like him, who becomes like God, then I'm messed up. I'm not going to be able to do it. But God works with our personalities.
Exactly.
He works with who we are. I don't have to be like my husband. I don't have to be like anybody. God called me to be who I am.
So good.
And so don't think that you have to have all of these little check marks in place before you can be through God or to God or into God or whatever. You don't. No. It's not... It can seem overwhelming, and that's what the enemy would like for you to feel, is an overwhelmingness, but it's not overwhelming. It's just loving God. God is the one that brings the understanding. God's the one that brings the wisdom. God's the one that adds to us what we need. We don't need to be like him. He doesn't need to be like me. I don't need to be like anybody. Just be who God called me to be, because I'm enough for him. And he's enough for me. And so I just keep hearing the word submission. Just submit yourself to God.
That's good.
Just do that. If you submit yourself to God, he's going to, all of these things he'll show you in due time. He'll give to you understanding in due time. But how many of us are just surviving? I mean, honestly, we're just, I mean, sometimes it feels like it's those nails that are just hanging onto the cliff. And it's sometimes just so hard. So much. That's where the Lord says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
He gives the rest.
Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's the process simply of coming to him, into him. That's what it's all about.
See, I'm not trying to make it so that you guys can understand some deep theology. I'm trying to get it so that you understand the depth of who God made you to be. That there's more to you than what you even think and that you even know. That you have had a blueprint for your life that has been God's plan for you. And that when you come to Christ, it's like all of a sudden you have the ability to read that blueprint. Before that, you were just kind of existing in your own state of following. Even natural giftings had spiritual source to them. A lot of times people find out when they get saved, like, oh, that's why I like doing that. And it relates to the kingdom of God. But we have to understand that this walk of faith that we have is so much more than just believing in God. It's God allowing us to believe in him in such a way that we become who he is here on earth. Which some may say, well, that's impossible for me to get, Pastor. Well, it may be impossible for your natural mind to get. I agree. My natural mind does not get this stuff. Maybe a little because I've studied it so much. But that can be a stumbling block. What does your spirit say?
Right.
What is your spirit saying to all this communication? Is your spirit saying, yes, I hear in my heart there's more to this walk than what I've experienced. And that no matter what my highest mountain was up to this point, it's an anthill compared to what God has for me.
Mm-hmm.
Acts 17:24-28. I'll kind of leave it with this. This is Paul speaking at the Areopagus or something like that. And what he's talking to is Athens, Greece, wise people. And he's telling them, I mean, listen, I want to talk to you about something. I've been walking around your city for a while. I've noticed that you guys are very spiritual. You guys like to worship things. You have many idols, many gods. And he says, but I want to tell you about the true God. And then he says in verse 24, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. So, number one, God does not dwell in temples made with hands. Mm-hmm. Since, wait, did I go too far? I did, hang on. There we go, hit it. Okay, here we go. Dwell with temples made with hands. Sorry, I got excited there and I'm all messed up. Okay. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. In other words, you're not going to be able to make an idol that will represent God. Since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. And has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, mm-hmm. so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him. Though he is not from each one of us. Now keep in mind, he's not talking to believers. He's talking to full unbelievers. For in him we live and we move and we have our being. Or he could have said it to them, for in him you live, you move, and you have your being. Living. That tells me that they came from a source. that from the midst of God, they live. And then they move. And I look at this, that even their existence here on earth is still enabled by Christ. Even though they didn't know him, he was the one that was enabling them to exist. He's the things that stuff that holds all things together. And then have our being. Our very existence is in him. Our very existence, our very state of existence comes from him. And as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. He lets them know, you're his offspring. Now they're unbelievers. But they were still his offspring. So even before I knew God, I was his offspring. But I became a son, which is just different than an offspring. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have children and, you know, they can just be there, mm-hmm. but not have any relationship with you. And it's sad. It happens. But then you can have sons and daughters where your heart becomes their heart. And your likes becomes their likes. And their likes becomes your likes. And you can be a family. And that's what God desires for all of us. Romans 11:36, one more time. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. Out of the midst of him, through him, and back to him. And that's it.
Corrie ten Boom tells the true story of an Englishman who was held prisoner in a German prison camp for a long period of time during World War II. One day he was reading Psalm 91. And this morning the Lord put Psalm 91 on my heart. And he fell to his knees in prayer. Father in heaven, he prayed, I see all these men dying around me, one after the other. Will I also have to die here? I am still young, and I very much want to work in your kingdom here on earth. And God spoke to his heart and said, rely on what you have just read and go home. So he had just read Psalm 91, right? So trusting God, the young Englishman got up and walked into the corridor toward the gate. A guard called out, prisoner, where are you going? He said, I'm under the protection of the Most High. The guard came to attention and let him pass because Adolf Hitler was also known as the Most High. The man came to the gate where a group of guards stood. They commanded him to stop and ask, where was he going? And he said, I'm under the protection of the Most High. All the guards stood at attention as the prisoner walked out the gate. The English officer made his way through the German countryside and eventually reached England, where he told how he had made his escape. He was the only one to come out of that prison alive. Everybody else died. As fully devoted followers of Christ, we are under the protection of the Most High. And so the reason that The reason I was thinking about Psalm 91 is because there's scripture within Psalm 91. It says, if. And that's always a choice word, if. Like, if you obey me, my kid, then I will give you this. Or if you will do this, I will do this. If is a choice word. And it says in Psalm 91... 9, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter. Okay, let's say that we do. No evil will conquer you. It doesn't say that you won't have any evil come against you. It just says it will never conquer you. So that must mean that if we make the Lord our refuge, and if we make the Most High our shelter. If we dwell in the shelter of the Most High, is what Scripture says. No evil will conquer me. It may come against me, but it won't conquer me. And a lot of times, I got this picture of this little play area, you know, in big malls where they have a lot of different levels, but they have a kids area where you can actually take your kid, the little ones, and let them run off all that energy so that you can go shopping through another few stores. Gina, you know what I'm talking about, Miss Shopper. And so I was thinking about this as, and this picture came to mind, how here's this little toddler, and the toddler goes away from mom or dad, whoever it is, and goes and plays. But if too many kids come to his area or that he doesn't know, or too many kids get real, real, real close, then he'll run to the protection of mom or dad until he sees that everything's okay again, and then he'll run out. That's the opposite of what God wants us to do. He wants us to dwell there. He doesn't have a revolving door. God needs us to dwell in him, be in him. And in that place, God can do all things in your life that needs to be done. In that place. A lot of times, we grab God's hand and say, okay, God, come this way. We're going to go down this way. You go with me, and we'll do it. But that's not what God says. He says, no, let me grab your hand. We're going to go this way. This is what we're going to do. It's so very different. All because of a different hand clasp. Letting God hold yours instead of you taking his. And, you know, come on, go on my journey here, God, and bless me here and bless me here. There's so much that we have waiting for us just to dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. Mm. So many things waiting there.
Yeah. Dwelling, living, abiding, habitation. But it's a process. I wish we could all just arrive in one day. But then we would miss the joy of the journey. And sometimes the journey seems to be the part that's drudgery. But I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but many times you think you want to get somewhere and get something. And then when you achieve it, all of a sudden it loses the glitter and the gold and the luster that the process of getting it seemed to have. And I believe that's why God allows our life to be the process that it is, because maybe it'll take a while, but I think we'll start experiencing the joy of this journey that he's put us on. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. So does anyone have anything they want to share? Anything? Any insight?
Get over here, Moses.
Come on, Moses.
Written all over his face.
God bless you all. Yeah, this morning I was going through that. I don't know why it hit me this morning, you know, just remembering growing up spiritually. And, you know, growing up in the church and seeing very different teachings and preachings, and it's impacted my life in good way, negative way. You know, and I started thinking about it a lot. You know, and growing up, you know, you hear the fire and brimstone teachings, you know, don't do this, don't do that. You're going to hell for this, going to hell for that. And, you know, you walk like this, you know. You can't step this way, can't step that way. But I thank God, because even though my mom was fire and brimstone, they lived a different life with the evidence of God in the family, with the evidence of love in the family. Even though, you know, says you don't do this, don't do that, and you're going to hell for this, going to hell for that, you know. And for many years, you know, I used to think that just because I did all that stuff, living, you know, like I said, reading, and this is going to get me holier, this is going to get me closer to God, Which it did, you know. I mean, it instilled that in me to search of more of the truth instead of relying on the minister or, you know, the special speaker. You know, it gives you discernment. It gives you discernment to discern the truth.
Amen.
You know, if you're seeking the truth, you know, you will find it. That's the Holy Spirit that's in you. It'll give you that discernment. And then later in life, you start growing and you say, you know, why are these bad things happening to me if we're living like this? You know, why are we being challenged? Why is my faith being challenged? You know, where's my gold star for not drinking, not smoking, not, you know, doing all the big list of stuff that they have? Where's you know, my reward type of thing? Yeah, I want my gold star, you know. I'm a good Christian, you know. But later on, I realized that when I developed my own relationship with God, that's when I started living for God.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when the truth started being revealed. That's when the spirit of discernment came upon me, and you know, and knowing that, yeah, those things were wrong. I mean, I'm not, but I don't have to live in fear of them. Of all the sins of the world, I don't have to walk in fear anymore. I don't have to walk in trembling. I can't do that. Can't do this. Can't do that. You know, I could walk in my spiritual freedom, not worried about if it's right or wrong, because my spirit is right with God. Because you have that relationship with God, and God reveals the truth to you, and you feel that. You feel that confidence. You feel like I don't live under condemnation. I'm free.
Amen.
I am free. You know, and then going back to what Pastor Gay said, you know, about we're all different. Growing up in a big family, you see all the different talents and all the different personalities. And why am I not like him? You know, thinking that I have to be like my older brothers who went on ahead and they all had their special talents. You know, a couple of them were musicians. A couple of them could sing. One was a mechanic, you know, and I started seeing, where's mine? You know, I hear I'm trying to follow their path, trying to do what they do, you know, because I was one of the youngest ones. You know, I was one of the babies of the family. So, you know, you start thinking, well, I have to be like that. Well, I have to be like him, you know. But no, God made you for who you are, the individual who you are, and the purpose. And he put a purpose in your life.
Amen.
You know. You're created for that purpose. Don't let the devil deceive you. Those of you who don't have siblings and stuff saying, oh, I want. Why don't I have the artistic talent of my brother or sister? Why don't I have the musical skills of my brother or sister? Why don't I? You know, God created you for that purpose. You know, for a special purpose. Get a relationship with God and he'll reveal that to you. It's not a mystery. He wants you to know. I don't keep anything from my kids, you know, that they want to know when they're seeking the truth. I don't keep the truth from my children. How much more our Father in heaven? He will not keep the truth from you if you're seeking the truth.
Right.
He will not. You know, and that was on my heart. That was on my heart today. And I started, you know, so when I started chuckling when I seen the message, and I was like, you know, that's what the Lord spoke to me. And I started seeing my life, you know, as a child growing up. You know, and I no longer live in fear of sin, because there is no sin in me if Christ is in me. I'm no longer, you know, I'm forgiven. You know, those are pretty bold statements, you know, you know, which Jesus got stoned for. They try to stone him for saying stuff like that,
yeah.
You know. But if you have Christ in you, you have no sin, because there is no sin in Christ. And he dwells in your heart. So I no longer live in fear of sin. Oh, do I mess up? Yeah. But that fear doesn't keep me down. That guilt trip doesn't keep me down anymore. I'm like, hey, God, you know, forgive me. I'm going forward. You know, so I just wanted to share that with you this morning. And it was in my heart. And, you know, the message that was spoken today is to be encouraged. Get a relationship with God. God's not going to withhold the truth from you if you're seeking the truth. He's there. He's a good father. God bless you all.
That's good. Thanks, bro.
Oh, you shocked me. Okay. It was a great message, but Gay's comment about we are all different and he works with our personalities.
Oh, she's much better than me. I know.
How many of us have heard growing up, why can't you just be like
so-and-so.
Your little brother?
Yeah.
Your little sister, why can't you just follow the rules? And I used to hear from teachers, and I work for a teacher now, go figure it as a maid. Why can't you just be like the other students and get this? And so we in our lives, we grow up in our spiritual lives, and I catch myself doing it all the time, especially when I really mess up. Why can't I just be a good daughter to you, God? Why can I not just be so rebellious? Why can't I be like my pastors? Why can't I be like so-and-so who are good Christians? These are things we need to stop telling ourselves. Why can't I be as good of a secretary, or why can't I do something else like somebody else says? We need to stop, and I can say this to myself because I'm doing this a lot. We need to stop telling ourselves, because that's part of the lie. Mm-hmm. That is the myth, that we have to be like everybody else. God did create us to be who we are. He created me to be me. He created Tara to be Tara. He created Panda to be the awesome panda that she is. He created us to be who we are. The moms that we are, the daughters that we are, the fathers that we are, the sons that we are. That's who God created us to be, and that is who he will work in us as. And that's who he will spread his word and spread his love to those around us as, is as who we are. And so we need to stop telling ourselves the lie that we need to be different, or we need to do something different. We just need, and I pray a lot for people when I'm praying for them and say, Lord, give them the faith. But you helped me realize today that I need to remember to walk in the faith that he gives me. He can give me all the faith in the world. He can give us all of our blessings in the world of his that he has for us, but we have to walk in it. We have to receive it.
Exactly.
And part of that is by remembering that we are who he made us as we are. Sure, we come with bumps and bruises and zits and pimples, but he still will use those, and he still uses us no matter what we do, even if we mess up, because sometimes those mess ups, I'm always telling Hope, you can learn a good lesson from a bad example.
If you let yourself, yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you have allowed us, Lord, today to get a deeper revelation of what it means, Lord, to be moving into the midst of you. Lord, thank you, God, that we have come, all of us, Lord, have come from the very essence of who you are. Lord, that you are our source. God, you're not just our source for material things that we have here, the material needs that we have, Lord, but you're the source of our very existence. We have come from the midst of you. And thank you, Lord, that through Jesus Christ, we can now move through our relationship with Jesus to grow and to become who you've called us to be, who you have called us to be, not someone else to be, not our pastors to be, not that speaker, not that teacher, but Lord, who you have called us to be in our individuality, in the design and the blueprint that you have created us to be. Thank you, Jesus, that we can move through you, Lord, the door, and that you allow us to connect back into the Father, into God himself, and that the godliness that he has, we have. The righteousness that he has, we have. The glory that he has, we have, Lord. Because you have chosen, Lord, to redeem us and to buy us back from being lost to the ways of the enemy through your blood and through your body. And Lord, I pray that even a greater understanding to our hearts would come. Even though our spirit says yes and amen to this, to our hearts and our minds, Lord, a greater understanding, greater ability to comprehend the love of God. Even though it's incomprehensible, Lord, I pray that we would comprehend more your love for us. That your love, Lord, would, would be real, that we'd realize, Lord, that your love surrounds us, encapsulates us, and is through us. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I think, I don't know how many are over there, but there's a few Krispy Kremes, right? The Villalobos blessed us with some Krispy Kremes this morning. Thank you, guys. All the Krispy Kreme lovers clapped and went hurrah. Everybody's going, I'm so full of dessert from Thanksgiving, right? Well, love you guys. Have a great day, and we'll see you soon.